began to stir in my heart just about the uncertainty that we're living in. And that there was this prayer, I haven't prayed it in months, but it used to be like a daily thing for me. Lord, shake everything that can be shaken, that only your kingdom would remain. It gets kind of blurry to me sometimes. Like, you know, is it the Lord's judgment that touches the land? Is it the earth groaning? Is it the Lord shaking so that only his kingdom would be left? So that Christ would be formed in us. And he gave me this vision. I'm going to touch it real quick and then we'll get to Jeremiah chapter 12. I was asking, Lord, what do you want me to say, Lord? And he began to unfold this vision to me as I was in prayer. And quickly my mind snapped to Jeremiah 12:5. We'll get into the first, we'll get into Jeremiah. But in the spirit, I could see a man, or a waterfall. It was proceeding from the throne of God. And out of the waterfall, like a horse out of the Kentucky Derby, like out of the gates, explodes out of the waterfall and leaves the frame of the vision. And there's a pause in the vision. And then there's this soldier, this footman, that just kind of breaks through the falls. And he's so weary, it looks like he's getting ready to take his last steps. He's beaten down and he's wearied. And I could hear the Lord tell me the footman's getting ready to speak. He said, get your pen ready. And so I grabbed a pen. This is what the footman said. He said, how can I run with horses? I filled my life with bread and the comforts of the land. I've not let my laughter turn to mourning. I've not exercised any sacrifice unto the Lord. I've been wanton. I've been drunk with idolatry. And now I've grown weary. I cannot lift the sword. My arms are heavy with the fat of my lust. I've rejected the poor and erected my kingdom. I've sought the American dream and lost sight of the Lord's heart. How can I run with horses? I'm naturally minded. The spirit realm is far from me. I meditate on the things of the world. His word is far from me. Let me rest, for the fight is too much for me to bear. Tell them to look up. Tell them to trust in the Lord. I have more to say. Lift up your eyes. I plead with you, lift up your eyes. Look to heaven. If you run with the pride of life, you will faint as I have. Be still and know him. Be still and spread your wings. The wind of his spirit will prepare you to contend with the horses. Look to the Father now, for in the moment of God's judgment, when the horses come, it'll be too late. Sober your hearts now. Don't end up like me. Don't forfeit your victory and end up like me, another weary footman. The horses are coming. But if we are in a heart posture of fainting now, we won't be able to contend with the horses. I was reading Jeremiah, read like the first 12 or so chapters. I just kind of wanted to read into the lead up of the scripture that the Lord was pressing into my heart. And Jeremiah is like preaching or prophesying the doom of Israel, of Judah. You know, there's a north country that's going to come and take you captive. The famine's coming. The horses are coming. Like it seems like every facet of society was just plagued with idolatry. He was using imagery and phrases like, you have the forehead of a harlot. Like, you're not even ashamed of the sin and idolatry that's in your life. They were so proud. It's like there's phrases in those verses. The Lord is calling Jeremiah to gates where they come to worship the Lord. Full of idolatry, coming to worship the Lord. The horses are coming. The horses are coming. And Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 1. Jeremiah's, I'm guessing, watching the land, watching the nation just kind of erode. You know, the horses haven't come yet, but that spiritual glory is gone. It's like, what happened? What happened? I don't know how much parallel our nation and Israel have, but I think of America often when I'm reading these things. It's like we're a nation under God, and there was like morals, and there was a dependence upon the Lord at some time. But as we've continued the years, we've just continually removed God and dove deeper and deeper into idolatry. And I just hear the Lord saying, the horses, they're coming. But they haven't come yet. We feel a little shaking. We feel some tremors. But they're not here yet. And I don't think Jeremiah's seen them at this point of Jeremiah chapter 12. We'll start in verse 1. He says, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? I think Jeremiah's like, man, I've been prophesying this doom. I've been prophesying this gloom. But the wicked are prospering. He's like wrestling with the Lord. He's like, let me talk with you about this. What is going on? They're prospering. If we keep reading, it talks about how the wicked, they're taking root. Wherefore, all of they happy that deal very treacherously. Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. And I'm just like, wow, Lord. Is this America? You know, is this the nation that I live in? Is this the nation that I dwell in? Have the wicked been established and rooted with a proclamation of God and a heart that's far from him? My mind's snapping back to those like music awards. I don't know if they still do this, but like the vilest men would get up. Lyrics straight from hell would get up and start giving God thanks. These wicked men are taking root and mocking God. Verse 3 says, but thou, O Lord, knowest thou me, and tried mine heart toward thee. He says, pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn, and the herbs of every field wither, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. It's like these wicked men are just proud. They're like, we're going to get away with it, you know? We're not going to see the horses come. Our destruction is far off. Here we go. Here's verse 5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? So I believe we're kind of like in this birthing pain experience, in this shaking experience. I don't know how quickly this stuff is going to move forward. You know, there's kind of like maybe some ebb and flow. I don't know. Maybe there's like things get good, things get bad, things get good, things get bad. But we're kind of like on a downward trajectory. You know, the 90s are gone. You're not going to get back to the morality of the 70s. You're not going to see, it is going to continue to grow darker and darker. You know, like the other things I was reading about in Jeremiah is like their prophets were they were corrupted. They were proclaiming peace, peace. There's mass idolatry in the land. And they're not telling them that the horses are coming. They're saying peace, peace when there is no peace. That's going to be okay. We'll bounce back. We'll rebound. You know, whatever it was. I don't know, but they were proclaiming peace when they should have been proclaiming, unless there is a heart of repentance, the Lord is going to send the horses. The Lord is going to bring correction. The Lord is going to bring us to a place of brokenness, to a place of captivity, to a place of, you know, whatever the Lord was speaking in the moment. That's what Jeremiah was talking about. You know, 15 times the famine, the sword, and the peril. It's probably more, but there was just 15 that kind of popped up when I was searching it. Throughout the book of Jeremiah alone, the sword, the famine, the peril. It's like just measures that the Lord uses to shake a nation, to shake a people, to bring them back to his heart. You know, like, what are the horses? What are the horses in Scripture? It's like the most notable thing I think of is Revelation chapter 6. You know, like this imagery that like this is where the Lord's judgment is coming into the earth. You know, you got the white horse to conquer and to conquer. You got the red horse who strips peace away from the earth and sets the swords of men against each other. You got the black horse who touches the food, famine, right? And you got the green, the pale horse that it is just mass destruction. Death and hell are following it. He got control of a fourth part of the earth, and he's bad news, right? But it's in reference to judgment, right? What's judgment? Judgment is the judge giving a verdict, right? You're guilty. Here's the verdict. Here's your sentence. The horses are in reference to judgment. And so there's different kinds of judgment that the Bible talks about. You know, there's an eternal judgment for every man. You know, the Bible says that we're appointed to die once, and then the judgment. Men need Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He is the way. If you don't repent from your sins, you will get to a place of judgment and be cast into hell. But if you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you get to the judgment, you'll enter into his rest. You know, you might hear, job well done, now good and faithful servant, if you've been obedient to the things that he's putting inside of you now. You know, maybe you suffer loss, but get in, you know, you don't want to be in that conversation either. But, you know, I see national judgments take place in Scripture. Like Jeremiah is prophesying to God's people. You know, hey, if the footmen are wearying you, how can you contend with the horses, right? And then, you know, in Revelation 6, like we talked about, there's going to be a global judgment. And so how do we as Christians respond to, you know, a national judgment? You know, like, I don't know if it's, like I said, the Lord shaking God's judgment. I'm not trying to get hung up on that, but I'm just saying when times get tough, when the Lord starts shaking, how do we as believers respond? You know, because if our heart is right before the Lord and we're obedient to him, we're following his voice, and the nation and everything around us is falling apart, we should be all right. We shouldn't be like the footman that's wearied and kind of like dismayed and losing his mind and, listen, I felt it. I can remember going, man, when I got out of the military, I think I might have fired 3 weapons. And I don't even watch the news on purpose because I just don't want to know, you know. But I would hear sound bites and I would hear customers. And I'm like, man, I got to do something. I got to get a pistol. I got to do something. I'm trusting in something other than the Lord. I'm not anti-gun guy. I like guns. But our trust and dependence has to be in the Lord. When we feel the shaking, When we feel the instability that George was talking about, we have to be still and know. We have to be still and know. Like, if you look at the context of that Psalms, it's like, you know, the mountains are being tossed into the sea. It reminds me of, like, the book of Revelation. And the Lord's like, be still and know that I am the Lord. So when everything around you is falling apart, don't run to the land that you trusted in like the weary footman. If this downward trajectory continues in our nation, if our nation does not repent and we continue on that slippery slope and we continue to reap what we've been sowing, don't be shaken when the land that you trusted in is gone. For our trust has to be in the Lord. I mean, 2008, there was a little tremor, but bread wasn't broken in this country. Everybody was still eating. The stock market rumble, right? You know, pestilence is starting to creep in. You know, I'm not here to talk about COVID, but pestilence is starting to show globally. We're on the cusp of some things unless there is a nation that is willing to repent. If we fall in line with the pride of life and the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and just run after the same idolatry the world is, that judgment is going to start at the household of God. God's going to purge his church as things around us grow darker. And kind of like what Pastor Kirk was talking about, man, we're going to be burning so hot, we're going to be burning so bright, but things around us are going to be dark. It's going to be like this aspect of the great and terrible day of the Lord. You know, maybe like a little shadow of. You know, the church is amazing, it's great, but there's terrible darkness all around us. You know, there's a line in the sand. But you have to be steady now. If your heart is unsteady, you're not going to be ready. I mean, my mind can't conceive a food shortage in this country. My mind can't conceive me going to the ATM and it not spitting money out. I've never experienced that. But famine, the sword, and pestilence is what Jeremiah was proclaiming to the nation. And so if we are in the midst of terrible times, Jesus Christ will be our still. He will be our peace. But we have to sober our hearts now and get ready, because the horses, they're coming. The only thing that averts the horses is a nation that repents. Verse 6 says, let me get to that B part. And if the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? The Jordan swelling makes me think of a flood. What happens to crops when they get flooded? They die. Extended periods of flooding will kill the crop. Starting to touch famine. Verse 6 says, for even thy brethren in the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. I have forsaken mine house. I have left mine heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. Mine heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. It crieth out against me. Therefore have I hated it. Mine heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field. Come to devour. Listen to this. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate, because no man layeth it to heart. Here come the horses. He says, the spoilers are come upon all the high places through the wilderness, for the sword of the Lord shall devour from one end of the land even to the other, and the end of the land, even to the other, and no flesh shall have peace. No flesh shall have peace. When the horses get here, it is going to be a place to where there is no peace unless you have Jesus Christ as your anchor. When he shakes everything that can be shaken, I don't know what's appointed for you. I don't know what your lot is, right? You know, what should my heart posture be? You know, I don't know. I feel this thing like it's going to happen tomorrow, but maybe it won't. You know, I feel like the Lord could come tomorrow. He probably won't. He's not coming tomorrow. Don't quote me there. Okay. But we should live with an expectancy for the Lord's return. A burning for the return of Jesus should be brewing in our belly every single day. If you have an eternal mindset, Jesus is on the horizon. And if we read the Bible, as it comes closer to Jesus, piercing through the clouds, times are getting darker. Things are more explosive and volatile. You know, Matthew 24 talks about it like a woman in labor. Like the birthing pangs are increasing. And if you've ever been in a labor room, the closer it comes for that baby, the more intense the contraction, and the more frequency the contraction. You're going to see these tremors that have been happening once a decade or whatever start to increase and increase and increase. Things are going to get tougher and tougher. It's not going to get easier. I'm here to tell you, you can't get the 90s back. I was a 90s kid, man. I loved 90s, but they're gone. They're gone. The only restoration to this land is if we repent. If you see a nation repent, then okay. Amen. But if we just look at the character of the Bible, if you got people running into idolatry, they're going to get judged so that they can come back to the Lord's heart. That's what I'm saying. I don't know how much parallel Israel and our nation has, but like I said, a nation under God. I mean, I really believe our founders were trying to establish something under Jesus Christ, you know? God's chosen people. I feel that he would deal with us in like manner. If we turn our heart to the Lord, he can restore some of the things that we've been seeing erode. But it's only going to come if we humble ourselves before him. I'm going to finish reading Jeremiah chapter 12. Because his heart, man, he wants to restore. They have sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but shall not profit. And they shall be ashamed of your revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord against all mine evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. And it shall come to pass, after that I have plucked them out, I will return, listen to this, and have compassion on them and bring them again, every man to his heritage, every man to his land. And it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name, the Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord. And here we go, like, if they learn my ways, if they obey my voice, I'll establish them. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord. We got a nation that's in rebellion against God. And I don't know, man. I know it may not feel comfortable to you. It doesn't feel comfortable to me, but I can't relent from speaking what I feel the Lord pressing inside of me. We got a nation in rebellion against the Lord, and I hear people saying things that promote peace when there is no peace. When there is no sign of peace on the horizon, I hear Christians talking about what they want to happen, what they think might happen. But if I just look at the character of our nation, peace is not on the horizon. We're in for tough times. Like I said, if we see them, let us steady our hearts. If we don't, let us pass a burning torch to our children and to the next generation that has their eyes on Jesus Christ, right? We don't have to look at how nasty the world is getting. We don't have to look at, you know, what's being devoured and judgments that are falling in the earth. We have to look at Jesus Christ. We have to look at Jesus Christ. But if we have this haphazard attitude like, oh, it's all going to pan out in the end. I can live my best life now. I don't have to worry about these things. I don't have to have any foresight. I don't have to look unto the coming of the Lord. I can enjoy. Listen, enjoy the fruit of your labor. Man, it's a gift from God, man. Enjoy it. But don't let excess erode what the sacrifice of the Lord, what the Lord is doing inside of you, is prompting you to do, what faith is stirring in you to do. You know, when I think of what the footman was saying in the vision, it's like, when's the last time you fasted? He said, I didn't let my laughter be turned to mourning. I'm not trying to preach to you. I'm just from a vision. That's scripture, you know. When's the last time you fasted? When's the last time you said, listen, man, this nation would leave me. We got so much. If you ate three meals a day, man, your sacrifice would fall short of the Lord every day, full of bread. There's got to be a time where we're carving out time for spiritual disciplines, for prayer, for fasting, for watching. But I think of Paul, he was like, man, fasting's often, watching's often, prayer much. Like, there needs to be a burning for Jesus in the midst of a land that provides excess upon excess. But if you get lost in the excess instead of enjoying the fruit of your labor, what you work, you know, with your hands, and, you know, break bread with your family and carve out those times of sacrifice, if you just run from one table to the next, if you run from one idolatry to the next, you know, I think screen time is the great idolatry in this nation. You know, we kind of think, oh, it was wood and stone. It was way back there. How much time you spend looking at that screen, I think, is the great idolatry that this nation is facing, that we're facing as a people. Examine your hearts. Now, I remember a word a few weeks ago talking about that phone. That's been the constant heartbeat for over a decade whenever they came out with those things. You know, now we got whole platforms where, like, look at me. I'm gonna build a shrine for me. What's on my mind? I'm going to let everybody know. I went to the store today to buy some bread. I mean, it don't matter what it is. Somebody's going to know. Man, we have to throw these altars down. You know, when the horses come, it said that came into the high places and tore everything up, that no flesh had peace. Listen, if this nation doesn't repent and we see that, hey, let's say amen. Because it's going to be a glory to the church of Jesus Christ. It's not going to be like this old crazy, terrible thing. No, it's going to be a glory to the church of Jesus Christ. The blood of the martyr will go. This is mild in comparison to what I'm hearing in the prayer, in a prayer closet. I don't want to scare you or whatever. But listen, the horses are coming. You got to steady your heart now. If you don't in this land right now, if you're weary because Joe Biden is a president, you're in big trouble. you're in big trouble. I'm not trying to be, I'm not trying to be humorous. I try to stay out of politics, but I'm just saying, like, we're just so divided as a nation, politically charged. You know, everything is just so, you're not on my team, you're the devil, you know? There's no civility, let's have a conversation. If you're getting caught up in all that right now, you're in big trouble. Because when the horses come and you can't eat three meals a day, then what? You see your kids suffering, then what? You still gonna serve Jesus? You still gonna serve him? I'm gonna serve him. As for me and my house, we're gonna serve him. Amen. And I know that those blood-bought, born-again believers will do the same thing, but get ready. Do not delay. Don't push off. I'll get to it tomorrow. Don't. When the alarm goes off, get up. Pray. Establish yourself in spiritual discipline that will increase, that will cause you to increase in your inner man. I don't have a whole lot today. I mean, the horses are coming. The horses are coming. The horses are coming. Hey, Luke, you want to play that? Listen, Luke's going to play a song. As I was preparing, I just kind of felt the Lord just put an altar call in my heart, you know? Just call him. You know, if that's you, if you were like me and you were like, you know, starting to increase your security around the house, or, you know, being swayed with what you were seeing in the world today, and putting your dependence in a land that was peaceful and never entertained or never set your heart and focus upon the return of Jesus Christ, in the days that are surrounding that glorious return, man, come up here. You know, the services I've been to here in the past, the custom was to pray. But I want to touch. I want to agree. I want us to be ready for when the horses hit the land. And like I said, if they don't come, that our children, that our children's children would be ready. If you're sleeping, if you're just one meal to the next, one episode to the next, we didn't talk about sports. One football game to the next. We're excited because the Browns are going to the Super Bowl this year. Been waiting over 20 years, been waiting my whole life. Silly affections. Listen. If it's permissible, listen, I'm not trying to preach my convictions to you. But is it beneficial? Is your laughter being turned to mourning? Is it an eternal mindset? Is Jesus on the horizon what you're affectionate about? Or do you want to see a Brown win a Super Bowl? I see so much. I could keep going. But listen, if the Lord is speaking to your heart, come on, get up here. Elders, if there's more than just a few or whatever, get up here, man, help. You know, let's pray for these guys.